4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we bow our heads to you today. And God, I pray for each one of us here that, Lord, we could clear our minds of our problems and the things that are going on around the world. And Lord, we'd focus in on you for a little while. And God, as the scriptures say today, that you've promised us a rest that we can enter into. And God, if there's one here today that's never entered into that rest, I pray that today would be that day. God, I pray they'd quit trying to work their own works and earn their own way, and Lord, give in to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you for being a holy and righteous God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week and going to kind of piggyback on some of the things that we said. You remember the children of Israel with Moses was looking for the promised land. And we talked about how some of them did not enter in because of unbelief and because they hardened their hearts. And today we see in our text in verse number 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." I want you to know that we have been promised today by the Word of God a rest that we can enter into. Now, I want you to know what this word means. It doesn't mean that we could go lay in the bed and rest. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is a cease from wandering. To cease from wandering. That is what this rest is. It's just like the children of Israel looking for the promised land. When they were to enter into the promised land, it didn't mean that they wasn't going to do anything after that. It didn't mean that there wasn't going to be battles. It didn't mean that there wouldn't be good times and bad times. It didn't mean there wouldn't be any struggles or fights to be fought. But it meant they'd be in a place and they wouldn't be wandering around anymore. And that's what God has promised us, a place that we can go to in Him that we know longer wander around looking for something else. We found all that we need in Him and we stay there. That's what we do. You know, rest is kind of this word, what we're talking about, it's kind of like marriage. Man, when you enter into a marriage, it's not to say that there's no more work to be done. Amen? Unless if you're married to me. Amen? But other than that, but other marriages take work. They take time. They take all these things that go on. But what you have done is you've ceased from wandering around. You're not looking for a date. You're not looking for this. You've met your spouse and you have settled in with them. And that's what it's talking about here with the Lord, that we can settle in with Him and we're not looking for anywhere else to go. And it's been promised us. And it's been promised us in two ways. It's been promised to us in salvation. You know what everybody in the world is looking for today? 7 billion people on the face of the globe are looking for heaven. Amen? I mean, they're looking. You're here, you want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. That's a good thing to want, a good thing to look for. Well, in salvation, we have found rest in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one that we make it to heaven through. He's the one who secures us, and it's in Him. And when you come to Him, guess what I don't do anymore? I don't go around looking for another way. I don't go looking and seeing, well, maybe this is the way over here, or maybe I need to do this over here. I know that the way to heaven comes only through the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other name. It is Jesus and Him alone. And that is what I rest in today. And I rest in it. I don't worry about it. I don't fret over it. My hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen. That is where our rest comes, in Him. But it also comes in our service to Him. Once you're in Christ, we need to cease from our wandering around from our service to Him. Now, this is where a lot of us get. A lot of us can come to grips with, hey, it's Jesus. He's the way. He's the way to heaven. And we commit to that. But then as far as serving Him with our whole heart, we wander here and there. That's why you see people will get in church and they'll fall out of church. They'll come to church and be on fire for God, and then you can't find them in a few weeks. Man, they come and say, I'm going to do something for God and help build the kingdom, and we don't see them. What the writer of Hebrews is telling us today is this: to stop from all the wandering around and get into a place where you settle in with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, you say, man, I've been saved. I've given life to Christ. I've been born again. Then what I'm telling you to do today is this: settle into the fact. Come to grips with the fact that your life is to be used for His glory and His service in this life. It's what it's about. It's about serving Jesus after we get saved. That is what life is about. It's about serving Him and doing His work. But don't come in and out. Don't wishy-washy. Don't do all these things. Just settle into what you're supposed to be doing in Christ. Guess what? In verse 3 it says this: for we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest. Listen to this: although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works of our rest have been finished since the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ finished the work for us on the cross of Calvary. He did the work. He paid our debt. I didn't pay my own sin debt. I didn't earn my own way. Jesus Christ died so that I might go free. He paid my debt. The Bible says He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that work has already been done. And guess what else? The work, the ability for me to be able to live a victorious life in Christ has already been done in the Holy Spirit. That work's already taken care of. All I have to do is yield to it and trust Him and obey in what He says. Now, this rest that we're talking about today, it comes with some precautions. Some things that me and you should be doing in a warning that we don't mess up. Look at what it said in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know what we ought to do today? We ought to fear coming short of entering into the rest that God has promised us. We ought to fear that. And you say, what should we fear? Well, if you're here today and you're lost, you ought to fear going to hell. Now, I know that people don't like to preach on hell much anymore and don't like to talk about hell much anymore, but here's the reality: hell is a real place. These people in hell today. Hell is just as real as heaven is, folks. And there is people that have been there for thousands of years. And people that die without Christ today go to a devil's hell to live for all eternity. And so if you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, I think I'm saved, or, you know, I made a decision one time, and you're not sure, you should fear lest you come short of what God has called us to do. You should fear lest you come short of entering into that rest. You'd be amazed at how many people sit in church pews unsure. I mean, unsure. They hope they're saved. They think they might be saved. They hope they made it and all this. And folks, if you're hoping and man, you wish that you did, you ought to fear that you come short. One day you're going to close your eyes in death. Y'all, I told them in Sunday school, some of you know Sam Sheridan or knew Sam Sheridan. He passed away last week. He'd come to church here from time to time. And man, I'd see him out and about, and he was fine, healthy, everything looked good, had a heart attack and died. Closed his eyes in death, took his last breath here on earth, and opened his eyes in eternity. And I hope that he was sure of where he was going. I hope he didn't come short of knowing Jesus Christ and making him the Lord of his life. Because hell is on the line. I mean, hell is in the balance. Heaven and hell is hanging in the balance, and you've got to give your life to Christ. You say, what do I got to do to be saved? We're going to talk about that going forward. But I can tell you what you don't got to do. It's not about joining church, and it's not about being baptized. It's about giving your life wholly to Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You know, if you're saved here today, you say, what do I have to fear? I'm going to heaven. When I die, I'll wake up and I'll walk through gates of splendor and I'll walk through the gates of pearl and walk on streets of gold. I have nothing to fear. Oh, you've got something to fear. You ought to be fear. You ought to be afraid. You ought to have fear in your heart that you'd waste your life. Man, think about a life wasted. A day wasted. You stand before God and he's given me. Man, God's given me a life. And by the way, spiritually, he's given me forgiveness of all my sins, past, present, and future, just in him. And one day we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for the things we've done in this world. And man, I'd fear wasting my life. We've only got one life to live. There's a little saying that says, one life to live and this soon shall pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And what we need to do is fear wasting our life on things that don't matter instead of doing a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to fear that. But guess what? Here's the other precaution that we got to do. Look at what it said in verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. That's us here today. Hey, some people say, there's some people lost. Hey, some people serving God. There's some people cold and really could care less. Here's the deal. The gospel was preached to them just as well as to them. Y'all all hearing the same message today. Look at what it said. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know what we got to do today? You got to believe. You got to believe. And it isn't just a head knowledge. This is an acting faith. You know, I could say, you could tell me today, I believe if I jump off the building, I'd fly. I'd say, that's nice. Why don't you go try it? Well, I don't want to try it right now. Well, then do you really believe? You're not willing to put your faith into action. You're not willing to take that step out and do what you said you really believe. And the question is this. It's not a head knowledge. The Bible tells us the devils believe and tremble. It's about actively putting your faith in Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, to save your soul. Do you really believe what he said he'd do? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you really believe that? Amen. You really be in putting your faith in that? I mean, the Bible says he died to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Do you really believe that today? We have to have an acting faith. Not only that, but the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. For if anybody come to God, he must first believe that he is. You got to believe he's everything he said he is. You got to believe that. You got to, I mean, trust it with your whole heart. Look, folks, I'm trusting my eternity on the fact of I believe Jesus is who he said he was. What are you trusting your eternity on? I hope it ain't being a member of this church because your trust is misplaced. I hope it's not one time at a youth camp you cried and got emotional. I hope it's your faith is in Jesus Christ and what He's done. But then about us in service. And this is us today. Let me ask you a question. You say, Brother Derek, I'm saved. Been born again, can take you to the place. I know I'm saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that you are on mission from the King of the universe? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you are sent here and put here to do the work of God? Do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that you're doing the work of God here on earth? And if you really believe that you've been sent on mission by Jesus, then we ought to be active in what we're doing. We'll be actively doing the work of God. You know, I told them in Sunday school, God is already working in my heart on where I'm going next in our preaching. I think on Sunday night, God is leading me to preach on Elijah and Elisha for a little while after we finish Moses. And after we finish Hebrews, you know what I'm going to preach? I've never done it in 8 years. I'm going to preach a series on what are the expectations of a church member. What a church member ought to be doing. What somebody who's in church ought to be doing. And what you ought to be doing is the work of God. You're a child of God. The Bible says you're a priest in Christ Jesus. You're all these things. And you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be doing the work of God. The problem is we say that, but we don't act it out. We say we believe that, but when's the last time you shared the gospel with anybody? With anybody. When's the last time you shared the gospel? Now, this gospel changed your life. It's the greatest news you've ever heard in all your life. Man, it's what's going to get you to heaven. When's the last time you shared it with anyone? When's the last time you've looked to invest your life in anyone outside of maybe your wife or your children? When's the last time you've done that? And you say, man, I'm falling short. That's what we're talking about today. You ought to fear falling short. See, we can go through the motions, folks. You can come to church. You can dress nice. You can come here and listen to the preaching. I'm talking about being on mission every day. You'll see some churches have a sign out when they leave in their parking lot that said, you're entering the mission field. That's cute. Do we really believe that? Because it's absolutely true. You are entering into the mission field. You know, I think about every empty chair here today. And it's on every one of us to fill these seats. And we're not filling them just to fill them. We're filling them because we're on mission from Jesus. To tell people about the greatness of God and what He's done in our life. The Bible says this, to be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks about the hope that lies within you. Now, here's my question to you. When is the last time anyone asked you about the hope that lies within you? You see, if you're living a life for Jesus that's supernatural, I'm talking about living a supernatural life. I'm talking about being happy. I'm talking about being at peace. I'm talking about walking and talking with God every day. You know what somebody will say? Somebody along the way will say, there's something different about you. And they'll ask some kind of roundabout question and give you an end to go in there and witness to them and share the gospel. When's the last time anyone did that for you? What I'm saying is, folks, is you ought to fear. We take the doctrine of eternal security and abuse it and give us an excuse to be lazy. Give us an excuse to fall short of working for Jesus Christ. You're not working for me. You're not working for the church at Oak Grove. You're working for Jesus. And we ought to be actively doing the work of God in this world. We need to not be going through the motions. You know what else? There's a power in this rest. Look in verse 9. This is what I love. Look at verse 9. This is what God spoke to my heart on this week. Verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know what salvation is? I said I was going to tell you what it is. It is exactly this. If I was to describe being saved in one word to you, it would be the word surrender. Because that's what salvation is. It is to cease from your own works and rest in Jesus' works. I've told you my testimony many times. Paul told his many times in the Scripture too. I was a little kid, and my mother walked with God. I'm telling you, walked with God. She wasn't just a church member. I'd go in the living room, I can't tell you how many times, TV be off, and she'd be sitting in a chair reading the Bible, listening to God, hearing from Him. She asked me all the time if I was saved, and of course I wanted to be. Nobody wants to go to hell. And I'd say no and all this, and she'd be, you know, she was a good mom, wanted me to be saved and all these things. And I asked God to save me hundreds of times. I mean, and I just didn't get it. I mean, I'm asking, what's the deal? But I just knew I wasn't saved. I knew I didn't have what others had. I told her I got saved. I didn't get saved. But I wanted her to think I was saved. I wanted to be saved. I went and joined church and got baptized. But I wasn't saved. And I went through life knowing this, that I wasn't saved. You know what God would do in His mercy? He'd come by my heart every now and then and go, you know you're not saved. You know this isn't right. You just got baptized. And man, I'm asking God to save me. I'm not getting saved. You know what? You know when I finally got saved? I was nearly 14 years old. I did this one night on one of my friend's front porch. Late one night, by myself, I said this, God, if you don't save me, I'm not going to get saved. And God saved me. What I did, it wasn't in the words I said. It was just in my surrender of my will to Him. That it's going to require Him. It's not the prayer you pray. The sinner's prayer ain't going to save you. By the way, it's not really in your faith, because you try to have, we can't have enough faith. Our faith is flawed. It's in a surrender to Jesus Christ. And you need to come to Him and say, God, I can't save myself. I can't get enough faith. I can't ask the right prayer. I just believe You're the Son of God, and I'm a sinner, and I need You, and just surrender to Him. Let go. And let God cease from your own works and trust in the power of God unto salvation. But here's the deal with us. Those of us that are saved didn't have a problem doing that, maybe. But you know, it carries on over into the victorious Christian life. Brother Robert talked about it in devotion this morning. We've got to cease from our own works. You know, I had to examine my life this week and ask a question. How much of the work of God am I trying to do in my own power? How much of the work of God am I trying to do in my own power? You know, I'd begin to think of things that God would bring to my attention. You know, we're about to build an addition over here, about 15 feet by the length of the building, 90 feet. We're going to add about 50 more seats over here. This side needs to start witnessing more. This side's full. I don't know what's going on this side, but we need to fill that side up too. But we're going to fill it up. And you know, sometimes I'll think, I'll just doubt things. You know, I'll doubt. Say, man, how long is it going to take? We don't got the money. You know, what if we build this addition and can't fill the seats? And when I think those things, I'm operating in my own power. I'm thinking about what I can do. Well, I can't fill those seats. Well, it ain't about if I can or not. It ain't about what we can. Well, we can't build it. We don't got the money. It ain't about me. And look, it's a thin line between working for God in your own power and in His power. You say, well, I can't witness to nobody. You might not can. You operate in your own power. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't help in Awanas. I can't be faithful. I can't. It ain't about you. It's about you stopping working in your own power and letting God work through you. Our problem today in the church in America and in Oak Grove Baptist Church and in all of our lives is not our weakness, it's our strength. It's not our weakness, it's our strength. Because we are worried about what we can do. And what we need to do is get real weak. You know, I think about it like this. If I came to the store to buy a $10 item, and I had $5 in my pocket, I wouldn't be too confident about what I could do. That's me going in my own power. But if I went to the store to buy a $10 item with $1 million in my pocket, I'd be real confident. That's going in God's power. When we go in God's power, we'll be real confident about what we can do. I can live victoriously in God's power. My point today is this. We're going to come short. Me and you as believers, our church, the church in America, the church in the world, we'll come short if we keep working in our own power. But we can do and God see God do miraculous things if we'll go in His power. And I want to live a surrendered life, not just for salvation, but for service. And I want to trust God for big things because He said He could do big things. And when I don't, I limit His ability to work. Have you ever had someone in your family that was lost, living an ungodly life, and you said in your heart, they're not going to get saved? That's working in our own power. They're not going to change. That's not believing what God can do. If God could change you, why can't He change anybody? If God can save me, He can save anyone. If God can do it here, He can do it anywhere. If He can do it over there, He can do it here. And man, we can see God do great things, but we've got to stop doing things in our own power. I can't preach in my own power. I can't pray in my own power. We can't see this church built in our own power. We've got to do it in His. And you can't do anything in yours. When you do it in yours, you'll have a little thing that can be explained, by the way. That can be explained. I'd like to do some things that are unexplainable. Somebody say, how is that even possible? How'd that take place? And I don't want to take the glory away from God. He's done all this here already. Amen. We didn't do this on our own, I can promise you. We didn't make it this far on our own. God brought us here. Amen. But if we want to go there, we need to let God take us there. And I believe that He will. Lay your own works down and let God do the work. Lastly today, look in verse 7. Those three words. And again, He limiteth. He limiteth. In other words, He's put a limit on these things we've talked about today. We saw last week it said, while it is called today. If you want to be saved, I've got news for you. You might not have heard this in any other church. Salvation is an opportunity. It's not an option. If God's stirring in your heart, the Bible says, no man can come unto me unless the Father which sent me draw him. Yes. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Have you ever been in a place where God wasn't drawing you? I have. Maybe you can confess that today. Say, I've been in a place where the Spirit of God was not working in my heart. He wasn't drawing me to Himself. But if you're here today and God is drawing you, He stirred within your heart and said, man, what the preacher's preaching about is you. You're lost. You got a chance to be saved today. You could reach out to Him and say, God, I just surrender to You, and you could be saved. But if you want to resist it, you can go on and God will quit drawing you. God will leave you alone. He limits it. He limits it. Today is the day of salvation if God's dealing with you. Today is the day. And service to God is limited. I know some people that I believe are done. They're done. They're not going to be used for God again. And that's a scary thing. You could be heading that way. You want to sit on the sideline? You want to sit on the sidelines? That's fine. God will let you sit there. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. Because God's going to do what He needs to get done. He just won't do it in you. You know, I used to coach ball. I told you this before. I used to coach basketball and football. Man, when I call on somebody to come in the game, if they wasn't paying attention, I'd say, just sit over there then and just stay. And if God's stirred in your heart saying, man, the preacher's talking about you. You're not doing what you ought to do. You're not serving me. You're not doing these things. I want to tell you, today is the day to say, I'm going to start serving God. And I'm going to do it the way God wants me to do it. And I'm going to serve Him in His power. And I'm going to do these things. Don't be the person that God puts on the shelf and don't use no more. There's churches that God ain't using no more. There's preachers that God ain't using no more. I know people that were Sunday school superintendents and Sunday school teachers and all these other things that God is not using no more. And the reason why is not God's fault. It's their fault. Because they said, I just do my own thing. God wants to find somebody who wants to be used. And if you're here today and God stirred in your heart and said, man, you need to be serving me in a greater way, I'd say that today you ought to commit to doing that and get busy doing a work for God. The Bible says the night cometh when no man can work. There's a day coming when we ain't going to have a chance to work no more. These things are limited. And so today, why don't you cease from wandering around? Quit looking for the next great thing. Man, if you hear at Old Grove Baptist Church and God's saying this is where you need to be, then just get in here, get planted with us, and say we're going to see God do miraculous things. Buy into what God's doing. And quit wandering around and find rest in God. Rest don't mean no fights, no struggles, no ups and downs. It means we're not wandering around from here and there. We're with Jesus and we're going to keep going forward. Amen? Won't you stand with me today as we have a verse of invitation. Brother Randy, you come on. You move as God...